Welcome to the Thread Raiders podcast, where some of your notifications' least favorite Twitter users get together and talk about whatever pops off the top of their heads. I'm your host, Captain Sugar Bear. With me today is Shrieky.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
And Griffolian.
Yeah, Happy New Year's.
And just as a reminder to our listeners, we are sponsored by DiceBard. Go to DiceBard.com, check out their selection of metal dice, glow-in-the-dark dice, rainbow dice, all sorts of dice, whatever dice you fancy, and even gift cards. And make sure to use the discount code THREADRAIDERS, that's one word, THREADRAIDERS, to get free expedited shipping on your order. It helps the show, it helps you, everybody wins. So, with that, we do have our holiday special. Again, I know, we just had one, right? But now it is New Year's, so we do want to talk about some New Year's stuff. And with that, I'm going to leave it to Griff with our first topic.
Yeah, we're just going to go nice, positive, upbeat. What was the best decision you made in this past year?
So I know, Shrieky, you had something like immediately for this one. You said.
Yes, absolutely. The best moment of this year instantly comes to mind is joining Twitter. So I think I only joined about March or May, somewhere in between there. I think I first joined Twitter. And I think I was only a member for about 2 months before I came across CA and Bear and eventually the rest of the Thread Raiders. And honestly, if I hadn't come across and met you guys, I don't know where I'd be to this day.
Now, when you say that, I mean, obviously, that is kind of a huge moment, especially considering, you know, the show we do and whatnot. But like, what do you think you might be doing if not, you know, if that didn't happen? Like, where do you think you would be? Just out of curiosity.
Honestly, I think honestly, I would be in a very bad place. I was depressed at that stage, didn't have a lot of confidence in my craft, and I was playing video games every day, 24/7. And I just didn't have a lot of meaning to my life. So I'm going through treatment right now for my rheumatoid arthritis, and unfortunately that hasn't enabled me to be able to work. So this past year, past few years actually, I've been feeling down on myself, hard on myself for not working because that's something I'm quite accustomed to doing. So when I met everyone on Twitter and you guys totally encouraged me to continue with the wood burning and art in general, and it just gave me some kind of purpose this year, whereas I haven't felt like I had a purpose in a long time. So honestly, just joining Twitter and meeting everyone, including the Thread Raiders and just all my followers in general who have ever offered a nice compliment or a nice comment about my art, I truly appreciate it because you guys have given me purpose this year. And honestly, that's the best decision I made, is joining Twitter and meeting all of you.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good decision to me. A lot of that is obviously on yourself for kind of persevering and pushing through. But it's always great to hear about the community that, you know, like rallies around people.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's definitely like, you know, especially if you were lacking that specific thing, you know, if joining Twitter is what gave you that sense of purpose and that drive, yeah, makes sense. Definitely best decision in my book, at least. Griff, what was yours? Because mine's probably going to be a little bit heavier, so I kind of want to go last, if that's okay.
That's absolutely fine. The last year was a very weird one for me. Lots of ups at the beginning, lots of downs at the middle, and then like a steady rebuilding process for the last third. And a lot of that, I think, happened when I said yes to coming on here with you two, because it would have been a very me thing to say, no, I'm sorry, it's okay. Like, I'm sure someone else will do it. But actually saying, do you know what? Yeah, I want to chat with you guys and record it and see where this goes, I think was like the first impetus for me in sort of reconnecting with a world that I'd become very disillusioned and disconnected with. So I guess it's a similar thing to like joining Twitter, right? It's allowing yourself to connect with a community and seeing, I don't know, what could be viewed as just like, oh, I don't know, it's my silly hobby. But actually embracing that and becoming, you know, something that really becomes like the rock which you can rebuild yourself from. Yeah, I would definitely say I think my biggest thing this year, or my best decision was to say, do you know what? Yeah, I want to join in with this. I want to see where this goes. And it's been a really a couple months on now we're looking at this, and hell, I'm still enjoying it. And, you know, hopefully people are enjoying listening to us. They seem to be. We really appreciate anyone that does listen to this, obviously. And, you know, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy chatting through things with you two each and every week.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely the same way where, you know, this show is always just this dumb thing that, you know, we kind of, and I think one day, honestly, we should really go into the origin story of the show because it's so fucking stupid. It is so bad. But, you know, I don't know, doing this with you guys, it's been such a joy. You know, no matter how bad I'm feeling, like, there's been days where I woke up and I was like, because I have to get up super early to record because it's just the time differences, where I'm just like, oh God, this is my one day off. Being up this early sucks. I have no caffeine. But as soon as we start talking, it's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
And just super rewarding. So
definitely.
I could definitely see that. my best decision that I made this year is probably going to sound kind of fucked up, to be honest, but the best decision I made this year was to ask for a divorce. And not because, you know, the person I was with was like terrible or the worst person on earth or anything like that. You know, she's fine. She's a great human being. She's doing her own thing now. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for her. You know, she's very successful in what she's doing now, and I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing. But that was kind of the whole impetus for me to really kind of just go forward and chase my dreams. And one of those dreams, obviously, was the show. Something right. I've always wanted to do for years that I never felt like I was going to have the opportunity to do, because I always felt like I was hamstrung by something else I felt like I had to be beholden to. So honestly, like, if I was still with somebody right now, or if I was in any kind of relationship, this show probably wouldn't be happening, because I wouldn't have suggested it, because I wouldn't have felt like I had the time to contribute to it. So for me, yeah, that's my biggest moment this year. It's been and it's kind of funny because, you know, for a lot of people, that would be like the worst thing that happened to them this year. You know, when you talk about that kind of stuff, you talk about, excuse me, my voice is still a little fucked up from being sick, but you know, when you talk about divorce or you talk about, you know, broken relationship, for a lot of people, that's such a negative thing. But, you know, for me, it was a net positive. You know, there was no hurt feelings. You know,
yeah.
Everything, like I said in the last episode, was amicable. And because of it, I was able to find my true self. And my true self is honestly trying to entertain people and bring joy to people's lives in whatever stupid, fucked up way I can think of. And the show is definitely one of the stupid, fucked up ways that I can think of. And, you know, it allowed me to dive deeper into the Thread Raiders group as a whole, get to know people, and dedicate a lot of time to it, and dedicate a lot of time to the Twitter community as well, who I absolutely love and adore. And so, yeah, if I didn't take that time to just be like, you know what, this isn't working for you, it's not working for me, and it's just time for us to move our separate ways, this show wouldn't happen, and I probably would be a miserable wreck still, but here we are, you know, doing this stupid show together that we love and having a lot of fun. So
stupid is like, it's one of those times when you say that word and you think, oh man, you can't call it stupid. And you think, ah, it's kind of stupid, but in the best possible way.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I don't mean stupid in like a derogatory way. I just mean like,
definitely not.
You know, it's just such a silly thing that never should have worked, but it did. And
I think like, it's a really interesting thing that you say as well. Like sometimes realizing something like what you went through and kind of going like, actually, is this right for me, is like a very difficult place to be and to make a decision on. So yeah, I mean, I'm really happy for you that like it's led to a place where you feel like you can be more you, I suppose. And explore those things that you've always wanted to do,
and that is what it is. And you know, I've been like, want to kind of, I don't know, I want to call it like a New Year's resolution or anything like that, but one of the purposes of the show is I want to be candid and open and honest with our audience, you know, with the people who listen to us, because everybody goes through shit and everybody has, definitely, you know, whatever's going on in their life. And I don't want to put up a face and just be like, oh, everything's great all the time. It's not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes we go through difficult things, and a divorce is a difficult thing to go through. For me, it it was easier than for a lot of people. But, you know, I guess my whole point is, like, it doesn't always have to be bad, because though you're splitting away from something that you're used to or from somebody that you cared about, you know, there can be a positive side to it in finding yourself and finding what you're passionate about and chasing those things and not having anything that really hampers that ability. You know, you're your own person again to really discover about yourself what maybe you didn't know, or maybe something you did know but you lost. So, you know, I kind of use the show as a platform for that sometimes, but, you know, it's important to me to be open and honest with our audience.
I think that's probably one of the key foundations on this, is that anything we've ever presented in this show is definitely from that basis. I don't think any of us have ever been anything other than just like, blah, just like,
we've never been anything other than blah.
Blah, here's all my words.
This is just a podcast of like mouth diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
It really is. But
so no, thank you for listening to our diarrhea. We appreciate it.
Oh, probably God. Not the words I would have used. Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I know you guys are the same way as me. That was just kind of, you know, it's always been difficult for me to open up to people, especially kind of on a stage like this. But here we are. Here we are.
I never would have imagined we would be here, but I'm really happy we are.
Me too. And, you know, I know, you know, in talking to people from the last episode about, you know, kind of opening up a little bit about it, it's important to people to hear that stuff from, you know, what I've been told. So, you know, it just kind of allows me to double down on those ideas that, you know, it's okay to talk about, and, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be a taboo subject, and it's okay. It's fine. And I know nobody's going to judge me for it, and that's even fucking better, because I'd do it anyway, but I'd be catching a lot of shit for it, and that wouldn't be fun. So.
Well, man, I'm judging you on that language, because I'm fucking don't stand up for that shit.
No.
Yeah, clearly.
You're not swears on this show.
Right?
This jar is far too full for you guys to be swearing anymore, so.
Well, on the bright side, you can afford a vacation, so.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Exactly. This will buy me a brand new bottle of Di Serono, which is great, so.
Oh, DC is good. It's not what I've been drinking, but it is good.
No.
It's definitely what I've been drinking.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, no, but I think that's one of those things. I think if there's anything this show should be, it's just like an indicator of, like, it kind of doesn't matter where you've been. If you have the right people around you and you can apply the correct attitude, which is not necessarily as always easy to do as it is to say, you can get to a better place.
Yeah.
And it's Canada.
But I would encourage, you know, just while we're on this topic, just real quick before we move on, I would encourage people, you know, look at, you know, I know life is shit sometimes, and, you know, especially during the holidays, life can really feel like shit. You know, I'm not immune to that feeling whatsoever. But, you know, really look back at your life and kind of look at that one moment that you might have had that was the best decision you made. And, you know, maybe look at that as kind of a jumping off point for 2018 that's coming up. You know,
What? Go ahead. I was just going to say, sometimes when you're in that spot, and I'm sure you guys can relate at some point in your life, it's hard to see those aspects of yourself. It's hard to see the good that you've done. So if that's the case, I have somebody, Sam, I've talked about her before on the podcast. I copy and paste things that she says sometimes about me, and I will save it. So on those days where I'm having troubles remembering maybe I'm a good person, or I'm just, you know, really depressed, I look back at those comments, and I have some from Bear. I have some from Paige. I have some from a lot of the Thread Raiders as well. And I love looking back and looking at those things. So my whole point is, if you're at this point in the year and you're having trouble seeing those things, ask somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good
guaranteed
point.
You're going to be surprised at how people see you.
Absolutely. And, you know, so thanks, Griff, for bringing that topic up, because, you know, it's a really good question, you know, and it's a really good thing to kind of really reflect on. But I know we have something a little bit different, kind of like a gear change here. Shrieky, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so I thought, just to lighten things up a little bit, what is the first game you played? And this could be your first video game, your first computer game, board game, whatever really stands out in your memory.
Griff, you got something for us here?
Yeah. I don't know if it's actually the first game I played, but it's the first game I really have any memory of playing, and it is a video game. It's from the old, at least what in the UK was the SNES, the SNES Nintendo console. Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yes!
If you played that, I urge you so much to go to YouTube and just search up the intro, because there is like the first like 30 seconds of that thing where there's this little jingle chime that begins the game will bring back so many memories to you, I swear to God. That's my first memory of gaming in any real context as far as I can remember. And probably a lot of it was spent watching my parents play it, if I'm honest. I think my dad completed that game and I watched it, but
really,
I replayed that. Yeah, I think I'm very lucky in that both my parents were kind of into, like, I experienced many of the later games of the old Super Mario games. Sorry, the later levels of the Super Mario games. Not because I was good or skilled or adept at the game, but because my parents got there. So I was able to, like, actually see what that game looked like at the end of it. Don't think I could even complete them now. My dad, unfortunately, is no longer with us, and my mum doesn't play games anymore. But my love of games very much came from parents that were, you know, open to that area of entertainment. So I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah,
right on. That's awesome. Memories.
Yeah, I still have like severe throwback thoughts to when you're in the like the dark world of A Link to the Past, and you, like the guy on top of the mountain who like turns into some weird creature and he's kicking around this like marshmallow.
Guy. Oh my, yes.
Yeah, right. Like just like being able to remember those things, like the music throws back, like the very beginning, like the text scroll sounds.
Yes.
So vivid for me. That almost, I don't know if it's because of that, but I have an intense love for storms and things. And I almost pretty sure I can pinpoint that to the fact that the beginning of that game is set in a storm. And the sound of the rain and stuff in that game just was really, really on point. So, for me, it's without a doubt A Link to the Past. You can't beat it.
See, like, I kind of have, like, a complete opposite story from you. Like, so, like, my parents, I remember my first system was an NES, Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
And, like, my parents were never big on video games. I literally don't know why they even bought the fucking thing, to be honest. But me, I was, like, probably, I don't know, 3 years old. This is one of the only memories I have from that far back was playing Duck Hunt on the NES.
Oh, yes. Duck Hunt. Holy shit.
Love,
yes.
Duck, yeah. Hunt.
And I don't, it's not so much that I really remember it as I've been told stories about it, I guess, probably is more accurate, where like my grandmother's best friend, Shirley, may she rest in peace, used to play play the shit out of Duck Hunt. Even my dad used to play the shit out of Duck Hunt, but, I don't know, like, that was, like, my first introduction to gaming, and, of course, Mario was bundled with that, and yep. I would play Super Mario Brothers, and it just led to this love affair with gaming, especially since I was a nerd and had no friends. I always had my NES to turn to, you know,
yeah,
keep me busy, and I had all sorts of, like, shit games after that, but Duck Hunt, Super Mario Brothers bundle was the first real game that I can remember playing and enjoying and loving. And it really led me down this path where I am today, where, you know, I doubt if I played those games that, you know, maybe I'd be where I am today, because it was a weird, just kind of train that brought me here from there. But I have just a lot of fond stories, at least from back then, if not memories.
Do you, can you still see that dog like appearing?
Oh,
that dog is a motherfucker.
Giving a bit of a chuckle or whatever.
All I ever
wanted
to do was,
right,
shoot that fucking dog.
Yeah, right.
I tried.
Who didn't try? That dog was a fucking asshole.
Did you ever walk up and put the gun right on the TV screen?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you could cheat?
I did at first, right. And then I was like, you know what? This is wrong. Even at
it
that
is
age,
wrong.
I knew this
it doesn't
wrong.
Feel right. You can, that only you can happened, tell, right?
That only happened in college when we were playing Drunk Duck Hunt. You started off like across the room and you're like, yeah, I fucking got this. And then, like, 20 minutes later, you're sitting there with, like, a pressed against the TV going, I fucking shot it!
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Shut up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So that
you
means
and the, you and that dog are like on the same side. I get it now.
Oh yeah, I'm just sitting here, just, you know, hand over my mouth, just giggling at your fucking misfortune.
I can't see it.
Yeah, probably. So what was yours then, Shrieky?
Well, mine's actually an old computer game, because same thing, my parents were both gamers. They weren't. My mom was kind of a semi-gamer. She loved playing games on the Atari, and my dad kind of continued on to the other systems. But one thing that actually stands out in my mind is when we first brought home our very first computer, and I thought we were, like, the hottest shit, because I was like, oh, man, only, like, government people get fucking the internet. Like, I was
wait,
like,
government people fuck the internet? Is that what you just said?
No, get.
You said get fucking the internet.
Oh, well, I'm swearing. Don't fucking mind me.
No comment. Carry on.
Yeah, hush. Anyways, so this computer was an Apple IIe. And I don't know if people remember what those computers were like, but they were basic as hell.
They were basic bitches.
Oh my god. There was two games on it. One was literally just this, like, hypnotizing thing that just went around in circles and you could stare at it. And then the second game was this, guess what animal am I? Except the game was fucking broken. I didn't realize this until my second turnaround in the game. And it's like, the very first question you ask it is it a land animal or a sea animal or like water animal, whatever. And it would say it's a land animal. So then you continue to, it's kind of like 20 questions, right? You ask it more questions and try and pinpoint what animal it is. And I couldn't fucking figure this one out. I'm going crazy. And finally, I get so pissed off, I guess blue whale. It was right.
Makes sense. And land animal. Got legs.
Every single time it said it was a land animal, it was a fucking blue whale.
Really? Wow, okay.
This stands out because you don't know how long I sat at that fucking computer asking it questions, trying to figure out. And you know, like, when I finally said, okay, it's a fucking blue whale, and it's like, correct.
Everything you knew was just blown wide open at that moment.
I pretty much foresaw, like, my whole future with computers at that point. It's right. Like a love-hate kind of relationship. It's like, I fucking love what you can do, but I want to fucking throw you at the window already.
I honestly can't believe you kept playing video games after that, because I'd be like, you know what? If this is what the future is, fuck the future.
Yeah, fuck the shit, I'm out. Like, I'm dumb.
I couldn't help it. Video games just got me hooked. I mean, there's Double Dragons versus Battletoads.
I actually you guys play that? Vaguely remember that.
Yeah, that was for the Sega. And I
Sega. Oh, you were a Sega kid.
I was a Sega kid. My brother had the Nintendo systems and I went Sega.
So, okay, question. Do you ever play a game called Wiz and Liz?
No.
Wiz on okay. Liz?
No, Wiz and Liz.
Okay, I heard what Bear said.
So. Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say that sounds like a fucking God, what's that singer that pisses on people?
A Japanese game?
No. there's a singer, Christ, I can't remember his name. The one that pissed on that girl at the fucking concert. I thought maybe
R.
Him.
Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly, an R. Kelly game.
Yes. Oh, no.
Wiz on Liz.
It was definitely not that.
Can we tag R. Kelly in this podcast when we release it?
Do we want to?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No, but yes.
That was not an answer. That was too...
That was incredibly inconclusive.
Yeah.
Well, that's the mood I'm in, so you're just going to have to go with it.
Oh, Jesus. So what's Wiz on Liz?
Wiz and Liz was... I don't know. It's not a particularly exciting game, but I just remember it for a specific mini game that appeared where you would be faced with some guy like in a stocks. Do you know what stocks are? Like that medieval thing where like someone would have their head in their hands just like through the metal, the wooden thing, sorry. Yep. And you'd like have to throw tomatoes at the face.
Would he? The whole game. Like, if you succeed, would he whiz on Liz?
Well, maybe I was never good enough to fully find out the answer to that question. But as far as I'm aware, that was not the outcome of that. No. The game was basically around just going in mini levels and collecting like letters and fruits to make potions to give you effects. I don't know. It's a batshit insane game, but I will forever remember that game on the Mega Drive.
And I'll forever remember it as Wiz on Liz now.
Wiz on Liz.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that sound like a weird sitcom.
oh, here you go.
Yeah, I've got a community submission. This one is from @Solibon on Twitter, and that is Soulibon. And I had to tackle this topic because for a number of reasons. For one, I felt really bad because of what this story is about. But two, it's honestly a really good topic for this time of year. But essentially, Solibon was listening to the show a couple episodes ago, where I had made a joke about not listening to us while you're driving your car because we would hate for you to cringe so hard you crash. Well, apparently that fell on deaf ears as Solibon cringed so hard he crashed.
The hubris of man, methinks, to laugh in the face of such warnings. Yeah.
It was a moment of real just kind of irony there. But also, you know, this gentleman, I know him well. He's the DM actually of one of my D&D games. His life is a bit of a sitcom, and there's lots of moments he's had, and hopefully one day we'll have him on the show to tell some of these moments. But his life is funny in that way, and he posed the question to us: what is our "my life is a sitcom" or, you know, "this is my life" moment? You know, kind of that moment where you just kind of look behind you at the camera that doesn't exist and say, "I bet you're wondering how I ended up here." Those kinds of moments. So, Shrinky, did you end up coming up with one of these by any chance?
I did, actually. So, one Thanksgiving, this was when my dad was still around. And for one, we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving. It's just not something we've really had dinner for or anything like that. But my dad, we lived out in the country, and he was out in our backyard burning brush. Not a big deal. He's done it before. Whatever. So I'm inside and I'm on the computer as usual, and I'm just probably doing like chatting and, well, I can't talk.
You're a robot?
Did you hear the dial-up sound?
Yes. Little known fact, Shrieky is AOL. She is like a culmination of all those AOL discs that you threw away. They became
God.
The internet on a CD-ROM. What the hell? What was that about?
Well, the funny thing is, at the time, I was using 28K.
Oh.
Not even 56K at this point. So, I was going through the whole dial-up thing. But
you Philistine.
I know it. But anyways, on topic, guys. Come on.
Oh, right. Us on topic.
Yeah, so we're the ones that...
Obviously. God, you're doing it again. Anyways.
It's always us.
So, my dad's out there, and all of a sudden, my mom, I think she was in the kitchen, and I'm in the computer room, and all of a sudden, the fucking house just shakes. Like, it just feels like something, like, exploded in the backyard. And we're just sitting there like, what the fudge? Because I've been swearing this whole podcast, and I'm choosing now not to.
Now's the time to worry about it, yeah.
Because it's on purpose now. I can't do it. But anyways. So, I say that a lot. My brother, he's coming down the street because he was living in Kingston at the time with his girlfriend. So, they're driving down the road. And I guess from their point of view, all they see are flames shooting above our house. And they think our fucking house is on fire. So, he's sitting there screaming at his girlfriend like, go, 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 oh my God. He fucking like dives out of the car as they pull out front. He comes running and then he realizes the flames aren't the house. What the hell? He walks around to the backyard. There's my father. There is a brush fire going on. And he is sitting there with a tiny little house hose, sitting there with it on it, going, I got this handled. It's okay. Well, my brother wasn't the only one who thought the house was on fire. Pretty much every neighbor down the street called the fire department.
Oh, shit, no.
We had, because we lived out in the country, we had two different district fire departments show up. So I had pictures of it. We had about 4 or 5 fire engines. We had 4 volunteer pickup trucks. We had multiple, like, just strangers pulling over to take pictures. And the fire department walks up to my father with this little dinky hose, and they just can't get over this. And they're like, what are you doing? And he's just like, burning brush. He's like, well, you need a fire pass. You need a pass to do this, and you need proper equipment and stuff. And he's like, no, I got a fire pass, it's all good, it's fine, go home, I got this handled. And they're just standing there in a group watching him. And then finally, like, they have to start laughing. And then pretty much my dad, how to end this story. He was the talk of the town for about the next year. Because everybody heard about this. If anyone knows small communities, shit gets around. Right. And the whole story is that this, like, huge fire department army shows up just to see my dad with this tiny little hose. And he turns out that the fire permit that he had was expired.
Oh, no.
But they felt so bad for him that they actually just pretty much said, like, okay, let us take care of it. Put your hose away. And we'll talk about this for the next few years, but we'll let this go.
So one has to ask, was that his best decision that year?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. No, I think that was probably not one of his most shining moments that I'm sure he would, if he was still around to this day, would be mortified I'm telling this on podcast right now. But honestly, that was, for someone who doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, that was the most memorable Thanksgiving of my life. I will never forget just an army of fire trucks going down the road and the crowd of them laughing at my dad with this tiny little hose. I mean, if you guys saw this fire.
Talking about your dad's tiny little hose. The way you describe it sounds really bad.
Oh, he was stroking this tiny little hose.
Oh, like, my God. Little... This is your father. Your deceased father. Christ.
Oh, I have no shame. I'm sorry.
This is what happens when we give Shrieky beer, by the way.
Yeah, this is. I'm sorry. I like to say it won't happen again.
What I do like about this is that my dad, when he was younger, pretty much set fire to, like, his family home's garden, like their garden fence as well. It's like a thing with, like, dads and setting fire.
Yeah, is this like a rite of passage for them? Exactly. Or... Yeah.
I don't know, but I too have almost set fire to my house or my parents' house. So let's move away from the fire talk. I have a really good one of these. And it takes place at my work, where one day I'm sitting there at the computer, and all of a sudden what bursts in is a person with a microphone, and they shove it in my face, and they start asking me a bunch of questions. And I am like a deer in headlights. I'm like, who the fuck is this person in my head? But I can't ask it out loud. They're like, what's your name? I'm like, and I give them my name. They're like, what do you do here? I'm like, fuck. And I answer the question. And I'm just answering questions. It's like the worst interview show I've ever been a part of. I see there's a camera, there's a microphone, and then there's this really, like, this woman in a pantsuit who looks very intimidating and angry for some reason, which I felt like was my job to be intimidated and angry at this moment. And, you know, they're asking me all sorts of questions, you know, what do I do here? What's, you know, what are my hobbies? What do I like to do? I actually mentioned this is actually the beginning of me starting this show with Shrieky and Grifolian. So I was like, oh, I have projects I work on. They're like, oh, what are they? And I mentioned them. And it was a whole fucking thing. It was just the craziest shit. It was like a reality TV show had kind of exploded into my department at work. And I was very upset by this. Eventually, the camera stopped rolling. They're like, oh, thank you very much. And they disappear just as quickly as they came. They were just gone. And I haven't smoked cigarettes in a very long time. It's not really my thing anymore. It's something I used to do, but I moved away from it. I was so shook. I looked at my employee. I was like, I need a cigarette and I need to go outside and I need to really think about what the fuck just happened. And if ever there was a moment in my life where I could have looked at not that particular camera, but another camera and been like, I bet you're wondering how I got here. I could have told them I have no fucking clue how the fuck I got here. And to this day, I still don't know what that was about. Still no clue. But I do know I was mortified and horrified, and it was awful.
See, and that's the thing. If someone puts a camera in your face, they should be telling you why. Like, what is this for? Where can I find this footage?
Oh, it was an ambush interview. Like, totally ambush interview. And if there's one thing, I mean, I can handle a lot of things. But if you ambush me, it's never good. It's just never good. I'm just always like, I don't react well to ambushes. If you want
there
to
goes
have
my
me,
evening plan.
If you want to put me in a fucked up situation and you tell me about the fucked up situation and you're like, you have no choice but to do this fucked up situation, I will resign myself to that fate. That's fine. But if you just ambush me like that, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening and I freak the fuck out. I can't handle it.
And I don't blame you. If I wasn't expecting, like, microphones and cameras and they're just all of a sudden shoved into my face with a million questions thrown at me, I'd probably be put off as well.
Yeah. I hate it when someone, like, pulls out, like, a standard camera to take, like, a candid snapshot.
Let alone, yes.
Real-time footage of how I'm, like, mortified by the situation.
Especially if I'm eating spaghetti. Like, don't take pictures of me eating spaghetti. It's not attractive.
Yeah, no. I mean, but, like, no one looks good eating spaghetti, right? Like,
well,
except Lady and the Tramp.
Wait, true.
What?
Lady and the Tramp.
That documentary footage.
No, I know, but we were talking about nobody looks good. Do you say the animated dogs look good eating spaghetti?
Well, I mean, all the movies that have parodied that moment. Like, there's so many people that have done the whole, like, Lady and the Tramp spaghetti thing on YouTube.
Just gonna leave this here and move on.
You know you want to touch it.
I don't want to touch it.
Touch it.
No. Griff, save me. What's your fucking movie moment?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I have, like, specific big sitcom moments. I do have a lot of kind of dumb technical questions from working with electronics in retail.
okay.
Where you just feel like you could kind of, like, Tim in the UK office or Jim in the American one, just look at the camera, just deadpan, sort of like shake your head slightly. I legitimately had a thing where someone bought in their laptop one time, they're like, they couldn't get their emails on there, so I hook it up to our internet at work, and all of a sudden the emails pop through, and you're like, it's strange, like, you know, they seem to be coming through fine here, and you ask, you know, are you sure your router's fine, or your internet's going to go, oh, I need the internet? Yeah, you need your internet to get your emails on your laptop. They had no home internet, and you just, God, like, I'm sorry. Like, and this was, I don't know, like, they weren't elderly or anything. Like, they were of an age that I consider it to have been appropriate to know about the internet being required. like, I don't know, things like that. I think I had, I think I'm pretty sure I had a situation, I think I'm remembering this right, where someone had bought a wireless printer and thought that meant they didn't need to plug the power cable in.
Oh my god.
I mean, it's wireless, right? Yeah, except for that one that provides the vital lifeline for the machine to come to life.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's crazy. Various things about, you know, like, people not understanding that if you're going to back up on a cloud online, you need the internet. Things like that. nothing else, like, I mean, those are kind of the standouts to me. I probably have had a few, like, more obvious, like, sitcom moments, but those are my favorites. Mainly because I really like explaining technology to people that don't fully get it as well. So, like, in the moment, obviously, I'm not laughing at that. I'm like, okay, we need to help you out here. We need to let you know what is going on. But then when you look back afterwards, you're just like, damn. You know?
Yep, so I've been there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how did this happen? Let me help you. Yeah, I don't know. Sitcom stuff is interesting. I think we've probably had quite a few.
Oh god, this whole show's a bad sitcom. It's just, like, the worst. It's like on TNT, where shows go to die.
Oh. I don't know. I think, like, you're getting the adjective wrong. I think we're not bad. We're amazing.
I mean, the two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. We're badly amazing. Or amazingly bad.
Amazingly bad is probably...
Yeah, I can roll with that. Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, people like listening to this shit. I don't know why, but I do want to thank them so much for joining us today on the Thread Raiders podcast. As always.
The last one of 2017.
This is the last one of 2017. We were going to get to that, but, you know, thank you for interrupting me. As always, I appreciate it.
It's what I do. It's what I do,
Bear. It's the British custom of interrupting every American.
No.
I mean,
it's okay. I'll give it to you. You lost the war.
If
it's
you
fine.
Just stayed in line, you know.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, why don't you go put a red coat on and come over here and tell me to my face?
I really can't be bothered. It's like 2 a.m.
Yeah, Bear. Why don't you put on a sweater?
And
tell
that is why
that
America won the war right there. That is why. Because the Prince were like,
we had to freaking deal with jet lag. So
I mean, technically it was boat lag, but.
Boat lag. Yeah, it's even worse.
Like I said, though, thank you so much for joining us today on the Thread Raiders podcast. Yes. As Griff said, the last episode of 2017. I can't believe we lasted this long, but here we are. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. You will soon be able to find me on Twitch, Starting January 8th, mark your calendars, I will be running or GMing a game of Dread for Travis Nett of Dice Bard. It's a whole thing, but they were all custom stories written by me, GM'd by me, with awesome players. It's going to be a lot of fun. Shrieky, where can we find you? What are you doing?
You can find me on Twitter under the name Shrieky. That's at S-H-R-I-E-K-E-E. And I know I haven't been too active on Twitter lately with the holiday season here, but I'm just starting a few new ventures, including trying my hand at Burning on Leather. So look Ooh. Forward to seeing some new work ahead this coming year.
Shrieky and Leather, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Grifolian, where can we find you? What are you doing?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at Grifolion. That's at GRYFFOLEON. I have also been a little bit absent. I've just finished up at my current place of work, starting a new job in the brand new year. Hopefully things will get a little bit more settled then. Twitch at Grifolion as well, or /Grifolion. You will hopefully see me back to the spooky games, back to shitting myself and doubting everything I've ever known very, very soon.
I like the idea of you shitting yourself, Griff. Makes me happy. You can also find
the weird comment.
I don't quite know what to make of that. Yes.
There's no way to make of it. Don't worry. It's been a lot of bourbon in my system right now. You can find the podcast at Thread Raider Pod on Twitter. And if you have any topics you'd like to discuss, if you'd like to just email us, tell us to fuck off, or if you just want to say, hey, I really like what you're doing, feel free to email us at raid@threadraiderspodcast.com. Or go to the contact page on www.threadraiderspodcast.com. You can also like our Facebook page, join our Facebook community, and that brings us to our last segment here. Griff, I believe you want to take us home here.
I do want to take you all home all of the time. Just to create a pile of... That's special occasions there. So... in the weirdest segue of all time, I will then like to go to our lovely community shout-out segment of the show. This is my favorite part of the show where we like to just kind of give a bit of a heads up.
Oh, this is your favorite? Thanks. I thought your favorite was talking to us, but fuck us, right?
Yeah, I see how it is.
It's the bit just before we say goodbye and go our separate ways. No, of course not. Of course not. It's just...
You know, you're going to make me cry.
It's not in a good way.
I'm very sorry.
No.
But I would like to have a shout to Jasmine of Medieval Minis, who is on Twitter at Raven_Elf. That's at RAVEN_ELF. Who you can also find, she has a Patreon, patreon.com/Raven_Elf, or Etsy, which is Etsy.com/UK/shop/Medieval Miniatures. Basically, just on Twitter, like a really great presence on Twitter, like really supportive of other people. But makes just the most sublime and mind-boggling miniature figures, I suppose, is the best way of describing it. Just the detail on them is stunning. Like the food items she makes just kind of blow my mind. I would recommend anyone go and have a look. Maybe pick up a couple of items if you do play a bit of tabletop and you want to dress up a few of your dioramas with some of her work. It's, genuinely mind-boggling and... definitely worth a look, in my opinion.
Definitely, yeah. No, she makes some really cool stuff. I've been following her for quite a while now, and always just blown away at the things she comes up with. So,
oh god, yeah, the detail that she puts into the things are just mind blowing.
Yeah,
I recently started following her on Patreon myself, like as a backer, and I just like it's one of those things that personally I cannot fathom, like the time and the patience that it must take to like go into a lot of these things. It's just. It's incredible.
Definitely. So with that, is there anything else we would like to add before we end for today?
Well, pretty much if there's any games out there that really stand out in your memory as the first one you're playing, I would definitely love to hear it. And I hope everyone has a wonderful new year.
You know, I'm actually really interested to find out what you think your best decisions of the year were as well. I think like a lot of the time, we often overlook the good things we do. So take a moment just to recognize yourself and go, actually, this is a really great thing I did. Hit me up. Shout out to me. And again, just like have a really, really good New Year's. Enjoy yourself. Have a great evening. Be safe. Look after each other.
Yeah.
Get drunk.
And then I kind of want to hear your favorite sitcom moments. To be honest, I could never have enough laughter in my life. And if I can laugh at a moment you had, I'm not going to lie, it'd be pretty great. But, you know, aside from that, also make sure to get in contact with at Solibon, who sent us the topic. That's Soulibon again. And just kind of make him feel better, you know, make him feel like he's not the only one who's living a sitcom life these days.
I just need to shout, I didn't actually know that that was real when that happened, and I was informed before this that that was a genuine thing that happened. I thought it was just like this perfect, ironic, I don't know.
Yeah, picture it's perfectly ironic but... and a bump in your insurance policy, so.
But, yeah, genuinely, do be safe while driving.
Yeah, no, seriously, probably don't listen to us while driving because we're the worst. And in the best way. We're the worst in the best way, so figure out what that means.
Yeah, please listen responsibly.
Ultimately, though, have a great 2018. Enjoy the rest of your 2017. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't do any stupid drugs. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. Or, you know, if you're going to do what we wouldn't do, do it in a safe way.
And tell us about it.
With that, we are out. This is the last one of 2017. I'm going to give it to you, but... Go ahead. Get it out of your system. Go. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm cutting it off now. Bye.